So in the first reading in the gospel, two interesting stories. The first one's very weird. These trees talking to each other and about who's going to be the king of the trees and whatnot. It's a parable as well as the gospel, right? This is a story that the citizens chose their own king, Abimelech. Rather than receiving the king anointed by the prophets, they chose their own king. And so this is with this story. Like, they asked the olive tree, and then the fig tree, and then the vine. And they all said no. So the olive tree would be the premier, the fresh olive oil, and then the fig, the sweet figs, and then the wine. So it was kind of like the highest ranking, and then the middle, then the lowest. And they all said no. So then they finally got the buckthorn. Just a ground covering weed to say yes. And he said, you come lay on my shadow, in my shade, if you want me to reign over you. So how low do you have to go to the ground to be under the shade of a ground covering weed? This man, Abimelech, that they chose was not a good man. He was horrible. And so this is what they're trying to reveal, is that when we don't follow God's will, God's way, we end up getting not the best deal, especially when we try to pick and choose our own king. So this kind of weird story was told to highlight to them the mistake that they had made by choosing this man to be the king. And as the story of Abimelech unfolds, it bears true that they didn't select the best one for the job. Then Jesus tells this parable about the kingdom of heaven. And just on the basic, simple reading, I think we are all right to say this is not fair. I mean, no one would not grumble as though those first workers did. I mean, maybe there are some saints among us who, knowing the story, would accept it, but no one in the normal course of their life would be okay with this scenario. So just in the first simple reading, we can see that twist that's always contained in the parables is right there. And there's multiple layers of the spiritual application as well. So going out at 5 o'clock, he still finds some who aren't working. Well, no one has hired us. No one has brought us into the kingdom. So who are the people in your life who aren't working for the kingdom because you haven't shared the gospel with them? Who are the people that you work with, or the people in your family or in your neighborhood who are left with nothing because they're not working? They have no wage because no one has hired them. It's a challenge, purposely so, that Christ puts here. Because those who were called first are the Jews, the chosen people, who were called centuries before this. And they were receiving their just payment by being faithful to the covenant. Even though they were rejecting Jesus, they still had that opportunity. And so those who come later are the Gentiles, are those who are not part of the covenant. And just like so many other stories in the Gospels where there are two brothers pitted against each other, or two groups pitted against each other, it's usually always can be read in one light of the Jews versus the Gentiles. The Jews thought that they were the chosen ones and they were the in crowd, and that they had a higher purpose and a greater call on God's grace, and they were putting themselves above the Gentiles. But now Jesus is saying that the Gentiles also are due the payment. They also are entitled to a life of grace. And then some of us may have been walking with the Lord for many, many years, maybe even decades. your payment is the same as someone who just converted today. We all receive the same Eucharist, our same daily wage, our daily bread. It's the same. Now, it might affect us differently, and it should affect us differently depending how well we've tended our hearts and our souls. Grace can be received differently, but it's the same amount of grace. Because ultimately, Christ can only give us himself. He can't parcel out the gifts of the Spirit or the presence of himself. And so when Christ comes, he comes in the fullness. And that's the hard work that we have to do, is by tilling the soil of our hearts and our souls, by rooting out the vices, rooting out the weeds, and pulling out the rocks so that the soil of our life is good, so those seeds can be planted, so that we can produce good fruit and receive or experience a fullness of the grace in a more profound and a deeper way. But it's all the one same Spirit that we receive. One of the most effective ways of tilling the soil of our heart is through a life of penance and self-denial, self-renunciation. And as we honor the memory of St. Rose of Lima, she's one of the best examples. A very colorful story she has, and you can research, and it's just a beautiful story. A young girl who at a young age fell in love with Jesus and dedicated her life to him. And like so many other saints that we know about, her parents wanted her to get married. Her parents wanted her to live that natural life, and she refused because she had committed herself to Jesus. One of the stories, you know, sometimes these stories become fables and they grow in their details, but it's said that as a way to guard her chastity, she put on a chastity belt, old school metal belt with a lock on it, and threw the key away. And then puberty hit, and we know as a woman's body develops, so that chastity belt became a chastity prison as it was really affecting the way her body could grow, but they didn't have a key. She had thrown it into the well. And so she prayed, and as she was praying, they say the key floated up from the bottom of the well, and she was able to release herself from that chastity belt. She used to rub lye and dirt on her face because they say she was beautiful. So to make herself ugly, she like put pox on her face, put marks on her face, so the men in the community wouldn't be attracted to her. Such a complete opposite of how so many of us operate today. We try to make ourselves as beautiful and attractive as possible. St. Rose of Lima was the opposite of that. They say in order for her to stay up all night long in her prayer vigils, that there was a nail on the wall, and she would tie her hair to the nail, so if she ever fell asleep and her head would bob, it would pull her back to keep her awake. She said the surest way and really the only way to get to heaven was through the ladder of the cross. You know, this isn't like a self-hatred where we want to punish ourselves, but it's to realize the great gift of Christ's passion and what he shows us, and that humiliation and the self-renunciation, that we want to join our life with his. And so we joyfully and willingly accept the difficulties of our life. And she lived a privileged life, so she added on to hers. For some of us, just waking up every day and the daily struggles that we face are enough of the cross of that ladder to heaven. But with what attitude do we accept them? Do we fight and grumble like the men in the gospel? Or do we thank the Lord for the opportunity to say yes to him once again today, even in the shadow of the cross? St. Rose of Lima is a great intercessor for us, regardless of our state in life, because we all face the cross, and we can't get to heaven until we do. And so we can ask her, to intercede for us so that we can receive the grace, so that we can accept our crosses, so that we can be a saint with her in heaven forever. We ask her for that grace today and every day to joyfully and willfully accept that ladder to heaven, the crosses that we will encounter this day.